Our gospel lesson comes from the Gospel of John. It's part of Jesus' final speech to his followers on the night that he would be betrayed and arrested, and as recorded by John. Speaking to the disciples, Jesus says to them, "I am the true vine, and my Father is a vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We all live pretty confidently most of the time, don't we? We can, complete chores that we assign ourselves when youngsters, we more or less did schoolwork satisfactorily. As a working age adult, we've held down jobs. We've kept our lives together, and no matter what age, we managed to care and show love for our immediate families with at least some degree of sensitivity. But occasionally things fall apart, don't they? Sometimes they may fall apart physically and health fails. Sometimes job losses can keep money from going into a bank account. And if we have a home, all of a sudden we might find that the roof fails and can demand more money than we thought we would need to spend. And we sit down and wonder how we're going to deal with it all. Sometimes things fall apart spiritually, often in the aftermath of the loss of a loved one. Or there may be times things fall apart relationally. When things have been said and done in anger that which need to be set to rights, but nobody has yet. And judgments may have been made that have left people feeling outside, alone, or orphaned. Think of the times that you may have felt that life was at least partially falling apart. And now imagine yourself as the king of the northern kingdom of Israel and begin to feel his desperation. We read in scripture that he was walking the walls of Samaria, a city being besieged, and that there was great famine in Samaria as the Aramaeans besieged it, until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver and a fourth part of a dab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. Now, those were exorbitant prices for the time. It meant people with a supply were taking advantage of high demand. People were buying a donkey's head now to use for food because, boy, nothing satisfies like fried donkey ears and donkey head soup. And people were buying dove dung, which when dried was a poor person's substitute for salt. And as all cooks know, nothing brings out the flavor of donkey like dove's dung. People called up to the king on the walls, "Help us." And the helpless king responded, "I can't." And then demonstrating that this tragedy was deeper than he'd thought, a woman came up and asked for his judgment as king. because kings are supposed to be wise and able to make judgments for the people. Then he heard the case, and his world crashed in. And by the way, this is the part that is why this has never been a Sunday school verse. A mother came up to him. This mother and another woman had agreed in this time of famine to eat the plaintiff's son one day and the defendant's son the next day. One lesson here is that desperation can drive us to rationalize devilish ideas we wouldn't make in our right mind. Second lesson is that just because something is in the scripture doesn't mean God wants us to do it. Well, the plaintiff had served up her son, but now the defendant hid her son today's meal, crying out with a huge sense of helplessness. The king ripped off his robes and displayed that he was already wearing the sackcloth of mourning underneath his kingly robes. On the outside, a king, but he had sackcloth ready. And have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt that the sackcloth of life's sorrows was right there underneath the outer robes you put on, actually, or at least in terms of emotions or how you presented yourself? Oh, I'm fine. The sackcloth we might wear close to the surface underneath our outer clothes might be terminal disease or anxious moments of pressure, furrowed brows of worry, heavy loads of distress, unknown sources of sorrow, difficult demands of responsibility, guilt over a distant mistake, a past sorrow that cannot be shaken. And we all often try to cover over these things with royal robes that may be lined with more honest admissions. We don't use literal royal robes to cover ourselves, but we do have other coverings over the sackcloth that might be there in our lives. We wear robes of, oh, I'm tough, and lined with, I can't admit any weakness. We wear robes of, yeah, I'm good, and linings of sins in myself that I too often criticize in others. We might wear robes of, I'm smart, but it can be lined with closed-mindedness. We might wear robes of, I've got my act together, lined with the reality that I'm just guessing here. Robes of, oh yeah, I can handle it on my own. And linings of, I don't want to admit I need some help. If we could pull away the veneer for a little while, I have a feeling that we all can find reasons for sackcloth in our lives at one time or another. Which is why the person who is across an aisle from you today or viewing virtually and whose name might appear in the comments in the Facebook viewing today, why these people need our prayers. The family you live with needs encouragement, and the fact remains always that the appearance of kings can sometimes fool us about the sackcloth they have on underneath. Those who only look on the outside never see that everyone does have their own share of sackcloth they have to wear. And if we were able to grasp this great truth, then it would remove a lot of our envy for others and discontent with the station that we are in and increase our empathy for one another. Life passes out to everyone a few yards of sackcloth and times that we wear them. And who would even have considered that a king had on sackcloth underneath his robes, pretending to be one thing but ready to despair? He lost faith, and he actually woke up that morning prepared to despair as he put the sackcloth on first. But sackcloth need not be the only thing under our robes, and despair need not be all that we prepare to do. Because the account in 2 Kings goes on to say there were four lepers at the gate, and they said to one another, they aren't going to let us in the best of times. They certainly aren't going to let us back in the city now that there's a famine. Why should we sit here by the gate until we die? Four hungry outcasts. Priests didn't want them. The citizens didn't want them around. And that was in the best of times. In a famine, why waste food on someone with such a disease or handicap? They know how they are viewed, so they make a decision. If we stay here at the gate, we'll die in the siege. If we go into the city, we'll die of starvation. If we go over to the Aramean camp, maybe we'll get some food tossed our way, even if they might kill us later. When off they go to what seems to be the best course of action. They went forth in the twilight. And remember, the twilight for the Jews is the transition time to a new day. They took a step of faith into a new day, and what they found was that the enemy had fled their camp because God had shouted, Scripture tells us. And when they stepped out in faith in the twilight, in the beginning of a new day, God stepped into the same twilight with them. And the enemy ran in that same twilight, and a new day and a new reality started. These lepers lucked out. They began to gorge. They began to pack the pockets of their robes. And suddenly it dawns on them. This is good news. And it's not just good news for us. We need to share it. And they do. So think about this. Have you ever felt that you were an outcast in some way? Well, the story in Scripture tells us God wants to use you nonetheless to start a revival. People make other people outcasts. God doesn't make outcasts. God uses anyone and can. So these lepers who wore their sackcloth on the outside, the sackcloth of ragged clothes, of obvious disease, and the sackcloth of rejection and isolation, but on the inside, they wore the ability to declare the good news. Can you imagine how they felt? Can you imagine the feeling in these four as they go back to the town of Samaria and direct people who are stumbling in the weakness of hunger to the food and wealth the Aramaeans left behind? These lepers have been changed from the despised to now hosts of good news. Underneath his robes, a king had been prepared to despair. Underneath their robes, the lepers were prepared to declare. Underneath all the reasons a leper has to despair, all the rejections by the community, these four found a motivation to declare the good news and to become a community of good news declarers. They did it the same way any of us can do it. Because we all may have fancy robes of making the most out of our life. We all may hide concerns. There may be hidden sackcloth, at least upon our spirits. But even that level is not the deepest level of our lives. There is another layer, a foundation layer for those who have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. The promise Jesus made in John's gospel was that God and the Son will make a home within us. They will abide with us. For John, this abiding presence is a source and inspiration for ongoing discipleship. It's the good news that enables us to be a community of good news declarers, even in the face of some things that bring others to despair. All of us who know that Jesus is at home within us are part of that community of good news with all those who know the same thing. In fact, even individually, we are a community of good news because we bring ourselves and our abiding Lord to every opportunity to despair or to declare. No matter what storms life brings to the home we are to God in Christ, no matter what inner weakness of ourselves impacts that home, the promise is there is that strong, abiding foundation of Christ with us, making a home in us. And yes, we often are far more of a fixer-upper home than a mansion, but then again, who better to dwell in a fixer-upper than a carpenter's son? In so many areas of life, the COVID-19 pandemic has presented reasons to mourn. Today, we start reasons of celebration as we begin to let people back in. And all through the past 14 months, there have been opportunities to either despair or to declare. It all depends whether we stop at the layer of sackcloth or go on to the foundation that God is with us. That will determine whether we despair or declare and what we speak and how we say it. Whether we stop at the layer of sackcloth or go on to the foundation of Christ abiding with us, we do move ahead. And a world around us that is starving for good news is always waiting for those prepared to declare. Amen.